And that took a while for me to joke about as well, because I had to deal with it first before I can bring it to like make fun of it. And now I can see that it's actually it's a good thing.
Make me laugh.
It must be top shelf
make
comedy.
Me laugh,
this
damn
must
it.
Be.
This I must came
be,
here
this
all
must
night.
Be fresh, crisp comedy. It's like, nah, you got in for free, dude. You're gonna listen to me. You're gonna listen to my pure anger, my old unfiltered rage.
When I was younger, I obviously spent a lot of time in the hospital as well. And a few doctors have told me, hey, one of these days, you're gonna have to get hip surgery. And I was like, oh, cool. So I better do everything before then. Do you remember this, Fateh, performing to two people at Transit?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's two people.
There's been a few of those shows. You'd have to jog my memory. Which is which?
Welcome, everyone, back to the flats. Another episode here in the studio. It's been a while, but we're back up and running again. A few little modifications to the studio that you might notice. Hopefully you don't. But, we're back after a bit of a break and got two guests in the house tonight that I've been looking forward to talking to for a long time, Fateh and Danielle. Welcome to the flats, lads. What's been going on?
Welcome, welcome. Thank you for introducing us like this. Oh my goodness, that was... I'm humbled.
I'm humbled. And the backstory here is that...
Oh yeah.
I think it was a year ago, or was it 2 years ago, at the Canberra Comedy Festival.
Hmm.
I went to a show, no idea what it was, and you guys both were on that lineup. And as soon as that finished, I contacted Danielle and was like, I've got to get you on the pod. What's your story? What's going on? But turned out you're based in Victoria. So you're not in Canberra, but you're here regularly.
Yeah.
And it's been a year of trying to tee it up, but great to have you finally in. And Fateh as well. Also, your comedy and the stories that you both have is fascinating. So keen to chat and see what makes you guys tick.
Yeah, happy, challenge accepted.
And what brings you to Canberra at the moment?
Myself, I'm speaking to a school tomorrow about persistence, and so I hope every time I come to speak to a school, it's like I see them. Either taking on the message that I'm saying and really using it later in life, or B, in my head, I'm saying, well, they're just going to forget later on. So it's always both worlds in my, I don't know. Have you found that to be the case, Fateh, when you're doing comedy? Like, do you ever find it in your mind that you're getting like that the audience, do you want the audience to remember you somehow?
That's a good question. In a short answer, probably no. I don't like to be thought of that much.
So that's what
which is kind of a contradiction, but it's I don't know. I just do it because it's fun to do comedy. It's thrilling, as you know.
Yeah.
To be on stage and to not really know what's going to happen next. I mean, I do, but also I don't. And I guess you're asking about whether I think people like think of me afterwards.
Mm.
Huh, I don't know. Maybe they do. Hopefully they think good things.
Yeah, well, certainly I was like, oh, we got to get these guys in. So I think you're doing something right at least that night. So
that was a fun show. Thank you for coming to that show.
That was a good show. And
excellent crowd. Yeah.
Yeah, it is up. It's up online. You can watch it all. So go check it out. And some other stuff of yours is up online too. So go chase it out.
Yeah, put some stuff up. Danielle has definitely put up some.
Just a little bit.
Comedy clips. So you put up some comedy clips.
Mm.
And so you're in town for the public speaking, which is a part of what you do.
Yes.
Similar to comedy in that you're up there standing, but how did you get into doing both of those things and deciding to do the public speaking as well as the comedy stuff?
So I started doing the public speaking first. And before, like way before I got to do the comedy. And then the comedy was just the part that I realized later on that, hey, I said something and the audience laughed. Can I say more things? And then it just developed into, okay, can I do a full set? Could I? And I remember when I was in Canberra, because I lived in Canberra for a bit. I remember, do you remember this, Fateh, performing to two people at Transit?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
There's been two people. There's been a few of those shows. You'd have to jog my memory, which particular one you're referring to.
We literally were about to start, and Fateh and I were like, we can't perform to two people. Why is there two people? Did the event organizer not mark it? Yeah. And we went outside to bring more people. We were like begging. We were like, please come watch our 5-minute set. It will be the best time of your life.
We got a few more people in, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. It was just the best time ever. But that kind of developed from the public speaking. So people like ask me now, like, how are you so confident on stage? How did you do this? How did you do that? I'm like, I've been doing it. You know, it's not like I've decided to step on stage and everything worked.
I mean, all speaking is public speaking in a way, isn't it? Unless you're insane.
Which, to be honest with you, I'm just kidding. I won't go there.
I speak to myself as well.
Not only have you been doing it, but you've been doing it since like age 16 or something. So
yes.
What made you get on that stage at that age when normally everyone's trying to do everything they can to avoid that?
Oh, true. Well, at the time when I was 16, because I came to Australia in 2010 from Egypt, and at the time there were newscasters that were saying Sudanese people are breaking into things, Sudanese people are doing this and that, vandalizing. And at the time, that was what I saw that I am. So, because that was what was being presented to me. And I have little siblings. I'm one of 8 siblings. And the majority of them are younger than me. And I didn't want them, I guess, growing up, seeing only that side of the media. So I decided to pick up the mic, started writing. And first time doing anything is scary. But once I started writing a few keynotes about how I felt about things, and then I got the courage to actually stand in front of an audience, legs shaking, knees weak, arms are heavy. please, it's like Eminem, don't come after me. But yeah, as soon as I presented that, a lot of people resonated with it.
Mm.
And I saw that, okay, this is a difference that I could be making.
Mm.
And from there, it just picked up the best hobby ever.
Yeah. So that was when you landed in Australia, that's what you were greeted with? That
period? Yeah, unfortunately.
And was it in Melbourne?
Yes, yeah. Initially. Yeah. Yeah.
So you landed into Melbourne?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good old Dandenong.
Dandenong.
Who? Oh, Dandenong.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, a place. Yeah.
Yeah, crazy. So, and what was that like for you personally when you arrived at, and before you started speaking and trying to comprehend what was going on in this crazy country?
Well, it was, I was greeted with that, but what I was coming, I guess, away from was way worse. In a sense of real life civil injustice, civil dispute, and it wasn't safe, like physically it wasn't safe. So coming to Australia, I guess, that was a downgrade of what I've just come from. just kidding. But it wasn't bad, like it's Australia is peaceful. I love being in Australia. But yeah, it was the greeting, especially coming here. I don't know about you, but I didn't speak any English at all. Did you speak any...
You didn't speak any English when you were how old, 16?
Yeah. No, well, I didn't come here when I was 16. I came here when I was 8.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah, so no English. Just spoke good old Arabic.
Ah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
No, I spoke English really well when I came here. I only came here in 2014 when I was 18 or 19. But I just chose not to speak. Yeah.
You're just like silent.
I was very shy, yeah.
And what brought you to Australia?
Well, I came here to study and I was sure I would drop out of the ANU because I hated it there.
The ANU
was it was very stressful. You know, the culture shock and everything, getting used to living in Canberra after coming from New Delhi.
The cold.
And I was sure I would drop out, but somehow I just didn't have the guts, I guess. But I'm glad I stayed because it's weird how things work out, you know? Sometimes, yeah, no, in retrospect, I'm glad I stayed. I do like this place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, I think the fear of my mom would have kept me in. I don't know. You don't mess with African moms. You just don't.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you gotta have mortal fear of your parents.
You just don't test them, man.
It's important.
I've learned the hard way.
It's important to fear your parents. I think that's true.
And a lot of what I do in terms of like public speaking as well, it's attributed to them. Because initially, like these days when I wasn't getting paid to speak or paid to travel interstate, my parents would drive me to these places. And I'm trying to like recognize them more and more out in public because they're in Australia as well.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm.
And where do you think you mentioned you were writing a lot at that stage before you were starting the public speaking stuff? Mm. Where did you come to on that issue, and what made you want to go, I'm ready to speak about this?
A guy named Chris Hall, he's like a community leader in Melbourne. He encouraged me to write in the first instance because I was very defensive. I wouldn't say there's been a huge character change in the way I see the world because I have a, hip dysplasia. Which is like a limp as well, and growing up as well, that caused me to be a bit distant from people, just because I have been bullied too many times, and so I keep everybody at arm's length. Fate, stay there, stay right there.
Give me a lunch money.
No, stay right there. No, get away from me. So I developed, I guess, sort of a defensive habit, and I developed like a sort of a victim mentality. Like, why did this happen to me? How could this happen to me? What did I do to deserve this? Why is it always happening to me? Why me? And so those thoughts were always eating at me. One of those days, the mentors just said, hey, why don't you start writing? And it started off very dark, angsty, teen stuff, and then developed into a more, okay, well, life isn't that bad. You know, and there's a quote out there that says, you become what you think about. And so what are you constantly thinking about? You will see that result in your world, unless you're Fate.
Inflation. Sorry, what was the question?
Don't think about inflation, bro. We've had enough. We've had enough of it. Yeah.
We need more public speakers that talk about inflation.
Yeah. What causes it? Anyway, no, let's not go there.
What is it?
I don't understand.
Yeah. Yeah, awesome. And that, I guess, led you to doing a TED Talk on this very subject.
Yes.
Where you speak very openly about what you've been through and getting to that point. What was that like, that specific TED Talk, but what it led to as well?
I didn't take it into consideration of how big it was whilst I was like, at the time, I thought it was just another presentation, you know? And I was like, oh, why is everybody stressing out about this one? Why this one specifically? But I've training up to it, leading up to it, I got to understand, especially the event organizers. You can tell how big something will be by just looking into the event organizers' eyes, and just staring at their soul. You know, they will tell you, hey, don't mess this up. But presenting at the TEDx, it was the best thing ever. Live audience who were there to actually listen and take in ideas. They were taking notes, which I was like, ew, don't do that. Just listen. It was the best, presentation, that first professional video presentation that I've done. And that led to more events and more people asking me to, hey, come at this, speak at this, blah, 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 blah. And then they started adding titles to my name. I thoroughly enjoyed the whole process.
Yeah, great talk, and really seemed to resonate with the viewers as well. So what's next with the public speaking stuff? What are you keen to do that world?
I was telling Fateh before as well. I have a book coming out in October.
Wow.
Yep. Yes, sir. Done. It's done. It's done.
Amazing.
I'm happy to say that I've put the pen down. I've walked, moved away from it.
Do you use a pen or do you type it?
No, I typed it. No, right. Of course. Oh, no. No way. No, my handwriting is bad, bro. It's been a long time writing it. Like, I've just written it in short stories, but then collated it over the years.
Crazy. So yeah. Do we know the name? What's it going to be called?
You're not allowed to know.
It's unannounced.
And that is about me forgiving, first my cousin who caused my limp. So backstory, I don't know if Fateh know this, but in Sudan, I was playing around with my cousin. That sounds so wrong. I was walking, playing soccer. There we go. That made it better. Playing soccer with my cousin. And she just said, hey, why don't you climb up that building with me? And I was like, yeah, cool. The views are lovely up there. It wasn't the first time we climbed up. And once I got up there, she came and she pushed me off the building. And that trauma event, I guess, was what caused... I found out that I can't fly, but I can bounce.
And that's something that you spoke about in the set that I saw you do.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And I that took a while for me to joke about as well, because I had to deal with it first before I can bring it to, like, make fun of it. And now I can see that it's actually, it's a good thing.
You're the Mufasa of public speaking.
Mufasa, Simba.
And
I haven't seen The Lion King in ages.
It seems like you can, because in that bit, it's you don't even tell the true story.
No.
And I can tell you get, you probably tell a million different stories to people, right?
Like, it keeps it fun for me. Like, when I was in Sydney and was workshopping that particular joke, I told it to my friend, and she was like, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. And then I said, oh no, don't worry, it didn't happen. It's just a story I tell people. And she was like, oh, you asshole. and that to me was fun. Because when I'm on stage, I want to keep it fun for me as well, not just for the audience. Otherwise, why am I doing it?
And just before we move on from the book, what was that process like? Was it hard to get that stuff out and to write that and put that out there? Or is it something you're kind of looking forward to getting off and out into the world?
Initially, it was hard because I wasn't comfortable with the level of honesty that I was putting on paper.
Were holding back? Or
When I put something on paper, as honest as I can be, I generally don't like to, like, show it. Like, it's just between me and it's now on the paper, you know? But I challenge myself a little to actually write something for the people and show it. And yeah, that's been just a collective of stories that have happened in my life as well.
So where can people look out for this book?
It will be on my, it will be just when you Google Danielle Diallo, it will pop up. Perfect. once it's out. Yeah.
Amazing. And how about you, Fateh, your writing process? You were saying you are moving a bit away from the comedy and back more into music. But how does your writing in both worlds, I guess, work?
Comedy writing is, I still don't really know how to do it, which is evident from my shows. Self-deprecating. No, you just follow a formula, you know, you just have to be self-deprecating and it's about delivery and it's about relevant stuff, relevant topics. And you try and mimic comedy you've seen, but not steal it.
Mm.
And that basically covers it. It's hard to kind of, I don't know. I feel like I haven't written a good joke in a few months. So you constantly kind of lose faith in your writing abilities.
I can imagine. I would. Mm. It's just something I could never possibly do. But
yeah, a lot of what I've written is utter garbage. It's like stream of consciousness. And yeah, I hope no one sees most of it. I need to set something up so, you know, when I'm gone, all those files
file
will
delete.
Be, all those hard drives will be wiped out beyond recovery.
Because I've seen your a set of yours. I don't know if this is a regular way you do it, but you had a piece of paper and it seemed like you were just kind of testing out material in that moment and skipping things and that sort of stuff. Is that?
Yeah, I do that a lot at mics. I like doing mics because it's a very low standard and everyone's just there to have fun and not be too serious about the quality of comedy. Like, oh, the comedy must be...
Make me laugh.
It must be top shelf
Make
comedy.
Make me laugh,
this must
it.
Be,
this I must came
be,
here
this
all
must
night.
Be fresh, crisp comedy. It's like, nah, you got in for free, dude. You're going to listen to me. You're going to listen to my pure anger, my unfiltered rage. And I'm going to be extremely angry and not funny for the most of it. But it'll be over soon. And then in retrospect, you'll be like, oh, that was actually okay.
Yeah, sometimes it's better that's than the best shit. Like, you know?
So, you know, your best, one of the best jokes that got me laughing so hard, and I don't know if you would remember this as well. We were at Smith's and you were doing like a 5-minute set.
Oh, yeah.
And you, I don't know whether you stopped or forgot the joke that you were like about to say next,
yeah.
But you stood there and looked at your piece of paper for a while. And then you turned it to us and you're like, oh, this is a picture of Jesus I drew. And it was like a stick with a beard. And I just lost it.
Yeah, that's visual gags.
I was like, what?
Love
but you were looking at your
gag.
Notes.
Love a visual gag.
Mm.
And how about, was it in Canberra that you got into comedy? Or and what was your reason for stepping up that first time?
It was just curiosity, you know. I do really love stand-up. I've watched all kinds of stand-up for many, many years. I just saw that there was an open mic at the basement and I thought, I got to try this. Hmm. And then I just got hooked. And even like days when I didn't even want to perform, I just like showed up just to see the fucking comedian dudes like hang out. And then I was like, oh, I don't want to be like that guy who just comes to hang out. You know, like how sad is that? I got to perform, you know. I think Marky Worthington was once like, oh yeah, like how lame would it be like if you just came to the gigs just to hang out? And I was like, yeah, that would be so lame. And that's like
that's
the only reason. Yeah, I don't really care about going on
peer
stage.
Peer pressure.
I've had enough. Going on stage, you get sick of it, and then you want to do it again. You get sick of it, and then you want to do it again. It goes in cycles, I guess.
Hmm. Yeah, so you were saying before we started that, yeah, you were a bit sick of it at the moment and your focus is is more on the music stuff now, which is cool.
Yeah, like music and comedy are like my favorite things, really. And music is, I guess, less direct and, I don't know, it's more musical, I guess. I'm a bass player, so I'm like barely a musician. Whereas comedy is where you got to be switched on, you got to remember, you got to improvise, you got to do crowd work, and you got to do it for like 15 minutes sometimes. That was me.
Actually exhausting. Yeah,
and you're the only one up there. That's
yeah, and then great. Afterwards yeah. You think, what the hell was that? Where music, you're always like, yeah, that was, with music, I'm like, yeah, that was good. We did our best, you know? Whereas comedy, sometimes it's like, why did I do that? So music's usually like, yeah, that was, we were better than, yeah, we were good, yeah. So it
and feel, tell us a yeah. bit about the band.
Oh, we're called Soros. We're a four-piece alternative rock / metal / miscellaneous genre band.
Nice.
From this place being Canberra.
Wow.
Myself, Aiden Ellero, Stephen, and Kyle. We've been playing on and off about 2 years or so. And we do gigs around Canberra, hoping to go touring soon-ish.
Yeah. Let's go.
Once we've got a solid number of songs. We've got a gig coming up on the 26th of April at UC Hub.
Ayo.
With two other bands, Non-Binary Code and Anarchy and the Underdogs.
Let's go.
Nice.
Oh, that's us at... oh, nice. Jamie pulled it up. Hell yeah.
Thank you,
Integrated, Jamie. Yeah, this is us. This is the first gig we performed probably... in 2022. Yeah, I think that was our first gig. We just formed to do this band competition. And we formed up and over a few weeks, we prepared these songs to enter this competition. And we won the first heat and then we all got COVID. And yeah.
That's...
Don't know the audio quality of this video, but give it a little taste. Go. The basement's really doing it all, eh? That's at the,
look
is
at
that
him.
At the basement?
That's at look the at German Club,
oh,
I believe.
The German Club.
That's a fine specimen.
It's one of Ellero's songs called Keep Up With Me. It's a bit of a funky number from Ellero and performed by Soros.
Hell yeah.
Not to be confused with the word Soros.
Soros.
Yeah, it's Soros like the Toyota Soros.
Yes, awesome. What do you think? Yeah, being in the Canberra scene in comedy a little bit. Mm. How is it here? What's going on? Is it? It seems like around the world, like comedy's bigger than it ever has been. What's it like in Canberra?
It's a really good city for comedy because you look at they should make a metric for this. I don't know, comedy per capita or something. You know, comedy density. If you look at like the number of clubs versus how big the city is, it's like there's a lot of comedy going on.
Yeah,
that's what
yeah.
I was thinking. Mm. Like there's like Gang Smiths and the Basement.
Yeah,
it's almost every week there's something on.
Yeah, it's, I think there's people who really love it and who keep the scene alive, like Marky, like I mentioned, and Chris Malton. And,
oh, yeah, Chris is still going.
A lot of guys who else does a lot of organizing? I mean, there's many more people. Sarah Stewart and...
Laura
Campbell.
Johnson?
Laura Johnston. Yeah. Yeah, she's... yeah, she's going to perform at Edinburgh Fringe, right?
Ooh, damn. Watch that too.
She's taking her solo show to Edinburgh Fringe from Canberra, so she's representing our fine city there. So that's amazing. You know, one has left the nest. Mm. So yeah, like I said, there's a lot of people, even more that I can't remember right now. Jeremy Smith, et cetera, Jeff Shen Comedy, Jeff Shen. Cameron Rubens.
Cameron!
A lot of people who do gigs.
Cameron.
A lot of people who organize a lot of gigs regularly, so it keeps the scene alive. A lot of mics where a lot of people can come and do comedy for the first time, and then they become one of us, one of us. And
once you start, you can't.
It gets people hooked. Like
it's actually addictive.
Like my friend
Getting
Joey.
Up is addictive.
My friend Joey Badass, who's he's come a long way. Shout out to Joseph / Joey Badass. The thickest male badminton player in Tuggeranong. His own words.
we'll take that as face value.
We'll have to get him in the flat.
We need proof now.
Yeah.
See what you've done.
I'd ask you to pull him up. I don't think the screen is wide enough.
Oh, man. Let's.
And what do you guys both enjoy in comedy, and what's interesting you at the moment? In both watching other people and what you're looking to do.
My head's been underground for the past few months working on this book, so I haven't really stepped out, and I've just been here and there with the public speaking, motivational side of things. But I would say about the same. I don't know who's your. I've never actually asked you who's your favorite comedian, Fateh.
I really like Sam Campbell.
Hmm.
I recommend watching his special. He's an Aussie comedian. A lot of people have probably heard of him already. His special called it's probably his newest one. Is it called Companion? Yeah, man, that was so funny. He's just a classic kind of off the wall kind of
like reactive,
just bizarre, you know, silly, goofy comedy. I really like Sam Campbell at the moment, and so many more that I mean, who's that other guy?
Luke.
I saw Jeselnik online recently. Anthony Jeselnik. He's a big name. He's good. Luke who?
Kidjul.
Oh, I've heard of him. He's Aussie, yeah? He did the festival.
He's touring around at the moment as well. I haven't seen a full set of his, but I see videos every now and then, and I just like lose it laughing. It's just what sort of
stuff does he do?
He's more improv, like completely, totally improv. And the audience just say the weirdest things. And he just responds to it and reacts, and I just like it's almost like geniusly planned.
Yeah.
His response, but I don't know. Is he on the festival?
I remember seeing, I think he was on Canberra Comedy Festival. There's so many people, so many good acts. I also saw Ed Byrne from the UK.
Man
I saw
from
him
UK.
At Street Theatre during the Canberra Comedy Festival. He was amazing. The gala show was awesome. Our own Canberra's Jeremy Smith got into the gala show.
Jeremy.
Yeah, that was amazing. Happy for Jeremy. He he saw me yelling. I got up. I was like, Jeremy Smith. And he looked across the...
He's like, who are you?
He looked across the sea of dark faces in camera theater. And he's like, who said that? And just threw him off for a second. It just threw him off for a good 3 seconds, like wondering who, before like the biggest performance of his life. And he's like, what?
How do you deal with that, by the way? When an audience, how are you finding that? When an audience says something whilst you're in the middle of a story.
I usually respond with rage.
It's like, how dare you interrupt me right now?
Rage and threats.
I don't know. Like sometimes I pick up what they said, but sometimes I actually like say, hey, let me finish. And then I respond to what, like I almost loop around.
I'm not good at crowd work. During my last show, I asked some lady how much she makes in a year, and like, and she was like, "Oh, no. I don't want to disclose," and no. I just didn't have a follow up, and it was awkward.
There was like end of story.
I was hoping there'd be punchline. You know how like you look on social media and it just happens naturally.
Yeah.
In real life, sometimes it doesn't.
It doesn't matter. They edit it. They edit the videos.
I think they do. Yeah, there's trickery. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's like they do a lot of crowd work, a lot of it fails, and the stuff that lands they put up, so you know.
Yeah.
That's social media for you. That's just the tip of the bloody iceberg or whatever, just the acceptable, just the final cuts.
You know what I wish we've done more of, though?
Yeah.
Made more movies. Or films, short films.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we made a couple of stinkers that people thought were really funny.
Yeah, we entered the, what was it, short film festival?
The Smiths short competition or something. Yeah,
that was good. That was fun. We should have entered sooner. It's your fault for not bringing it up sooner.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. I'm blaming that one on him.
Film something you're looking to do more of?
Yeah. Oh, I love acting. Like, I'm looking to branch off into that more after I give birth to this book.
Yeah.
It's a jarring birth.
Yeah. Maybe turn that book into a screenplay.
Hey, we don't know. You never know.
Who do you want to play you in the biopic? You want me to play you?
Yeah.
All right.
This is how I used to look like. Or this is how I look like now.
Before you go to ethnic reassignment surgery.
Fully sunburnt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing you mentioned in the TED talk is from your injury, the pain that you're living with, quite a lot of pain, and I bet a lot of people can relate to that, but maybe not to that level. What's that like, and how you deal with that?
To be honest with you, it took me a long time to actually figure out that my bad mood was because of the pain. It wasn't because of, I guess, other people were adding on to it, but it's like just piling it on. Once I got, I guess, the correct treatment, I found out that, yeah, it is the pain that's causing the distress and the headaches. And so I learned different methods of dealing with it. But initially, yeah, it was like just me going solid, just experiencing it. Mm. I didn't understand why, and it was causing the negative attitude.
How long were you in? It was like chronic pain.
I was sassy.
For how long?
Since from birth, bruv.
Like, are you still in pain?
It's like, can you read? No, not as much now. Because I've got I've got treatment now, and I've got like physio and things in place.
Nice.
To take care of that. But yeah, beforehand, it was just pure pain.
It is.
Yeah.
And I guess because it was from such a young age, when you were three, that it's all you ever knew. You just thought it was a normal thing in a way.
I was that, like that meme that the guy that went to the doctor, and the doctor asked him how much pain are you in, and he's like, oh, just the normal amount. But then the doctor's like, the normal amount of pain is no pain. Uh-huh. What are you talking about?
That's true.
Yeah, so I didn't know any better.
Yeah.
Hmm.
It was the new normal.
Yeah. Essentially. But what was a blessing in a way was how I was. Like, the speaking just came into it. It just, like, gelled with it perfectly once I dealt with it. And I see myself as helping other people, especially with disability, letting them know that, hey, you can still find things that you enjoy in life despite this is not it for you. Mm. And that's what I find, I guess, joy in as well.
Mm. That's awesome. It's a great message to put out there that, you shouldn't be out. You shouldn't have to live like that.
Yeah, shouldn't be limited.
Yeah, or limited. Yeah. So yeah, you've got the book coming out. Turning that into a movie
potentially.
What don't you do? You seem to be doing everything. Like, you've been a business owner too. And. All from an extremely young age. Where does this drive come from, do you think?
Whenever somebody asks me, Fateh, what don't you do? I say walk in a straight line. But uh-huh. That's a... I guess the drive, it comes because...
Oh, because you have your hip.
Yeah. I can't walk straight. Do you get it now?
Can I use... Oh, no.
You can't use it. It's mine. It's trademarked.
We'll put it in the movie.
We'll put it in the movie. Can't I do? Where does the drive come from? Well, when I was younger, I obviously spent a lot of time in the hospital as well. And a few doctors have told me, hey, one of these days, you're going to have to get hip surgery. And I was like, oh, cool. So I better do everything before then. not knowing that that would really be stressing me out to actually just hit goals.
Yeah.
I'm not even, like, I wasn't aware of it.
Constraint.
Yeah, yeah.
Deadlines.
It was like tight deadlines. But it was
what
it
did
was
he
that
say
pressure.
Would happen? He said there's a chance that the hip surgery wouldn't go well.
Yeah. He was like it was risky and the recovery period might be long as well. So that to me, it looked to me like I was just going to be bedbound. And I was like, well, before that time happens, I want to do XYZ. And then XYZ spread out into more things and more things spread out into more things. That's what you see today.
What age were you when they told you that?
I was pushing like 13, wow. 13, 14, yeah. And so I had a year or two to just panic about it. And then I was like, okay, let's just gather our thoughts. what do we want to accomplish?
There's panic. Panicking is important sometimes.
Oh, 100%. Honestly, people say it's bad.
There's
but
a place for panic.
There's a time and a place.
Yeah. Like the panic room, I'm assuming that's what that is.
And
where is it? Is there one in Canberra here?
I want one in my house.
One of those smash rooms. Like,
yeah. I saw an axe throwing.
Dude, what
place.
Kind of business idea is that? That's insane.
Where do you get the things? How do you get the things?
Let's just give these people axes. we're open at like midnight on Friday. Yeah. Come by. Here's an axe.
Come by.
Express yourself.
Bring your friends.
That is true. And then meanwhile, like community groups can't get insurance for their like, scout meetings and shit. But, like,
priorities, society, priorities.
Who's insuring this axe place? Like what?
Like the shaky hand, the venue that opened up in place of transit.
Is that what the axe place is called?
Mistransit.
Down because they couldn't get insurance to put on live music.
Oh yeah, they are closed, aren't they?
Which is just kind of like when you look at the axe thing, it's just
they couldn't get insurance.
Wow.
Well, they could, but it was just going to be so expensive that it's not a profitable business, which is a real issue for live music.
Also, probably the rent was too damn high.
I can relate. You relate? I can relate.
And also, probably like noise restrictions, I think. That was a factor.
Yeah. They had the issue with the hotel across the road.
That's a shame. Yeah. Shaking Hand was good.
Yeah, it was like a promising place that was going to be putting on regular live music, and shame to go. But
was there open mic there?
Shaking Hand open mic.
It only had like 2 months.
Yeah.
And then it shut down.
Oh, wow. Because I left Canberra when Transit open mic closed.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh no, goodbye.
Yeah. So what brought you to Canberra? So you arrived in Dandenong, and then what brought you to Canberra for that period?
What's that song by Rihanna? The one that goes work, 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 work.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what brought me in.
Yeah.
So I was working for the APS for a while, and then I moved to Sydney for a bit, and then I felt my blood pressure just rising, and so I was like, yeah, let's go back to Melbourne. Melbourne's the place to be.
That's home.
Yeah.
And what about, are you doing much comedy in Melbourne at the moment?
I was recently at the Comedy Republic.
Yeah.
Doing a gig there.
I went there a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was good audience. Good audience.
Oh, yeah?
Like I, because I'd, moving into the new, like coming back to Melbourne, I have done a few open mics, but then I was like, okay, but what's the actual gig life here? And so when I went into Comedy Republic, I was like, hey, okay, you guys are cool. We're cool. I found more value, I guess. And I don't know if that's the case for you, but in open mics, like you can literally say anything to test it out, test the ground, test the waters, and whatever sticks, sticks.
Yeah. You don't always have to have something to say. Just say something just for the sake of saying something.
Yeah, literally. And people will, someone in the audience will find that.
I mean, we'll all be dead soon, so why not just get up on the stage and just say the first thing that comes to your mind. Just
don't worry about it. And
be actively mean to people.
Do you find that people are too too in their heads to do this? Because I tried to convince some of my friends to do open mics. At least just for... Because conversationally, I find them hilarious.
Yeah.
But when I say, hey, you should actually write something down and do a 5-minute set, they're like, nah, bro. Not for me. Not me.
It's probably that comedian stigma, you know? Is there a stigma? Maybe I'm paranoid.
Could be. Schizophrenic?
Don't they say you kind of have to be a little bit crazy to want to do that?
Or, that's true. Or, to keep coming back.
Yeah.
And then, perhaps. What does it mean to be crazy?
That's too deep. Too deep for me to think about right now.
I mean, clinically we know, but like in the common sense of the word, how does that filter down to our understanding?
Who decides?
And semantics in popular culture.
That's another thing about Fateh.
Do you like Slavoj Žižek?
That's another thing about Fateh. I forgot to warn you guys. He gets very philosophical.
Slavoj Žižek very. Says
we
should...
We love that on podcasts.
We should identify with our mask, you know?
Whew.
You know? Do you identify with your mask?
I put on a different mask when I came to Australia.
Do you identify with that? Right? That's you 100% of the
time. Well, I've ditched it since. I put on a new one just because cleaning...
COVID.
Yeah. A disposable mask. Yeah.
You got to keep everything clean, man. But no, it's identity, isn't it? Just identity. Is the mask that you're referring to?
Yeah, no, not N95, but that was funny.
Yeah. I was like, what's going on?
That was funny.
But yeah, I mean, yes, I do identify. I identified with it, but it wasn't the correct version of me that I identified with.
Interesting.
And yeah, I just assessed it and got rid of it.
Hmm.
Not completely, of course, but
yeah.
It's pretty crazy though to be, you know, between 13 and 16 and have that realization. Not many people would be able to think that deeply at that time.
Yeah, I went to, that's why Fateh and I gel, because I went philosophical like to the nth degree, to the extent where I started interviewing people as well, interviewing professionals that are in different fields, just trying to get why they were doing what they were doing, what drive them, why are they so driven, and interviewed different people, from business people to different artists, to just try to Holocaust survivors, Stolen Generation members, to just try to get a better understanding of life.
And did that work?
To a certain extent, but not to the extent that I was after, I guess. And that led to my conclusion that we figure out our path as we go. It's not determined. I guess we make decisions that lead to different outcomes. So that was my conclusion of that whole little experiment of interviewing different people.
Mm. And was that was for your podcast, the podcast you were kind of running?
Yes, yeah. Zooming in with Danielle.
Yeah,
that's what it was.
Are we going to see that again?
Potentially. There is a new one that my friend and I are working on.
And how about you, Fateh? What's next?
Indeed.
That is very...
What's next? I suppose dinner.
I think but, we can all that, get behind that one.
But after that, I need an IT job if anyone's watching this. Is hiring, networking.
You're telling me full-time? Being a musician full-time? And a comedian's not paying the bills in Canberra?
I've made my hundreds in comedy and I'm keen to advance to a different professional
Hang
field.
Up the mic.
Yeah.
Mic drop.
But yeah, I'm learning about IT, fulfilling my fate. But it's very interesting.
Is that a race joke? I see it there.
Yeah. I did this joke about how... I shouldn't do it. It's not that funny.
We'll edit it out.
I'll do it. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. We've got...
the premise isn't even... it needs work.
So it sounds to me like you do still want to flex that comedic muscle and the people want to see you back on the stage.
Yeah, I'll do sideway open mic in a couple of weeks.
Let's go.
Awesome.
Sideway open mic's good. There's always a good crowd, so try some new stuff and see how it goes. What is next? I don't know. I'm drawing a blank.
Your band?
There's not always band an answer. Stuff. Yeah.
Do you see the band going? Stuff.
Yeah,
like...
We're gonna keep playing. Keep playing till the house falls down, or whatever the expression is. Keep on till the wheels fall off, and keep doing comedy as long as people keep giving me gigs. I'm supposed to do a short set with some of the people at a fundraiser for the Labour Party.
Oh yeah. You're getting involved with that crowd.
So I finally sold out, which feels good. I think. What does it even mean? What does it mean to sell out? But
I don't know.
No, this guy Sean.
It depends what you're selling out. But
Sean asked me to do a set to raise money for Labour, I believe. So that'll be happening in May, at the Labour Club in Belconnen.
Hey.
So if you have money and you want to part with some of it in exchange for comedy,
is everyone invited?
And you are a fan of ACT Labour.
Okay. That's a very restricted.
Or, you know, even indifferent. That's fine. We'll accept that. Okay. As long as you have money, you should come to this event, which is on the 18th of May. Nice. So that's next. What else is next? I don't know. What's next with you, Danielle? You got to talk tomorrow.
Yeah, talk tomorrow about persistence. Yeah, I really hope the students take the word. Take it and just... think about it later on, because when I was in school, we had different presenters come to speak to us, and I found some of them like very, very engaging, and some like not engaging at all. And I even come into schools now. I try to be that engaging speaker so that the students can take something away and actually stay with them throughout. Because I still remember year nine, a speaker named Eric Edgyman came to our school, and he spoke about his story about how he came to Australia from, I don't remember where from, but it was somewhere in Africa for sure, because he was African. That's how you know. And then he said he came here, he got in trouble with the law and whatever. And his dad convinced him to go to visit his mom back in Africa for 2 weeks. But the 2 weeks turned into 7 years. And the 7 years, once that was done, he came back and he realized that he was like, there was more opportunities here. He became grateful. Mm. And so that story stuck with me as well, because I was like, I don't need to spend 7 years elsewhere. Just be good. Just be kind.
Just get that citizenship, brother.
Just do it. Well, they can still revoke, but that's another story.
Yeah. I'm proud to announce I am also an Australian citizen.
Let's go.
Aussie.
Finally. Yeah. Took you years, man.
Yeah, it was
years.
It was a long
I was hassling you. Yeah. I was hassling you. Like, even whilst I was in Sydney and Melbourne. I was like, where are we at? Where are we at? What's the status of the citizenship? So, when do I get my award for all my hard work?
Let's make it happen, Albo. tell him the Labour thing.
Yeah.
Tell him.
Is Albo, which one is he? I keep forgetting.
He's Labour, but you might be doing a local Labour for the local ACT election.
Yeah.
Which will be Andrew Barr. We can... have a word to
Andrew. Him. Yeah. Let him know.
True.
Let him know what's up.
My political knowledge is very sporty.
Just get out there and start doing some crowd work with them.
They would love it, honestly.
Yeah.
They don't often meet a comedian, so it would be like, oh my goodness, he is funny.
Guys, that's awesome. That's an hour. Is anything else you want to talk about? Plug. We've got the gig Sideway. The book coming out.
Woo.
Thank you guys so much.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
It was awesome. Great chat. And can't wait.
One year. That was
1 year in the making. Next time we'll do it again. Thank you so much. And thank you everyone for watching. Woo.
Thanks everyone. See ya.
It's a wrap.